And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom on the other side of the glass. Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our program. And together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition, December 14th. Christmas right around the corner now. Tom, it did get cold last night. Our bird bath was frozen. Not like frozen solid, but enough so the birds couldn't, you know, use it.
I saw predictions that the foothills would probably get frost sooner than everybody else, but
yeah,
I think the rest of us are going to be getting it tonight,
oh, really?
Tomorrow night, and the night after that.
Well, I'm glad we covered the sensitive vegetation. We did forget to cover the pipes. I think we were okay there. And then we just let the, you know, the drip, drip, drip deal going in all the bathrooms. So we were okay. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios, our radio station, 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, which is very easy to remember, buckmastershow.com, and there you will not only be able to listen to our live stream of the show, but usually within a couple of hours of the conclusion of the program is completely available on podcast. In fact, we'll be celebrating 12 full years on the radio the first week of January, so we've got pretty much every program archived. When we do our phone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Malia Chavez is with me in studio. Malia, it's a homecoming for her. She grew up in the Tucson area and now leads the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. She replaces Michael McDonald, who announced his resignation about a year ago. There was a big national search for the next CEO of the food bank. In fact, there were like 400 applicants, and Malia came out on top. She most recently served as the executive director of the Women's Building. That's a woman-led organization space in San Francisco advocating for self-determination, gender equality, and social justice. Malia, welcome back to Tucson.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome.
You have you've lived here before. You're now back in Tucson, and some things have really changed, but some things have not. And unfortunately, in the not category is there is still a lot of food insecurity in this town.
There absolutely is, and especially during this time of year. We see a huge spike in the need, and we're seeing from last year to this year, we see about a 20% increase in need as well.
When you look at the overall footprint of who you serve and how many people you serve, what are some of your impressions at the Community Food Bank? And I realize you're pretty much concluding your first month, but overall, some of your impressions so far, please.
Well, number one, that we are a very lovely, generous, and committed community. I think people really rally around supporting others that are in need, which is beautiful. And we do. We serve a 5-county area, which is a large region. And we serve a little over around 300 and just shy of 315,000 people a year through our services directly and with our partner agencies. And we serve over 65 million pounds of food.
65 million pounds a year annually?
Yes,
is that what you're saying?
It's an incredible amount. I can't even imagine looking at it all at once.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Where do you get all that food?
Oh, many sources. Our big priority right now is really in local sourcing and making sure that we're working with local farmers as well as local suppliers. Mm-hmm. And really working with the greater Arizona Food Bank Network as well.
You know, this is a difficult time of year for those that are in need. I'm sure that the food insecurity issue is paramount to you guys this time of year.
Absolutely. We just see it's hard for everyone during the holidays, as well as with kids home on winter break, just as it's hard during the summer. But this time of year is really, you know, again, an increased need. And with the high cost of just inflation and access to food at this point, it's making it harder, and everybody's feeling the pinch right now.
The Community Food Bank is known, I think, across the country. It's one of the oldest food banks I know in the United States, but it has a great reputation, doesn't it?
It does. And we do some really innovative and exciting and educational work in addition to making sure that, you know, people have access to food. We have wonderful local farms and partnerships with the local farmers market, education components and programs within the schools. There's just a number of really wonderful opportunities to learn more about all of our creativity and our ideas through all of those programming.
How about donations right now? And how could people help out? I'm sure a check is always welcome. That's a pretty obvious way. But are you still accepting food?
Yes, we are accepting
food donations.
What type of
food would you like or do you need?
Well, essential proteins are always helpful. So mm-hmm. peanut butter, canned tuna, canned chicken, things of that nature. Oatmeal, granola, canned fruits and vegetables. Those are always really welcomed and definitely needed. Any non-perishable items, cereals and things like that are very appreciated. And of course, volunteering. You can always give your time.
What type of opportunities are there if someone is listening to us right now? Perhaps they have a few hours a week that they would like to donate at the Community Food Bank. What would that entail?
There's a number of opportunities, from helping us to prepare some of the food boxes that go out to the community, and also helping to do the intake and supporting folks and greeting people. There's a number of projects that are available. If you're interested, you can contact us. We have a whole team that's just dedicated to working with our volunteers and training, and you can contact on the website. There's an a button there. Or you can email us at volunteers@thecommunityfoodbank.org.
You're incredibly qualified for the job, and I think we should let our listeners know a little bit about your background. You are an attorney.
I am.
And you tell us a little bit about what you were doing in San Francisco.
So most of my career, I've focused on three different areas. A lot of, again, policy work, especially around food access and food justice and food insecurity, and also workforce development programs, as well as housing-related services, everything from affordable housing development to eviction prevention and education and support, as well as working with local landlords and working to find and pairing with supportive housing programs.
You were born in the Bay Area, but you came here at a very young age. Tell us about your early exposure to Tucson.
Sure. Yeah. My family moved here in 1985 after my mom met my stepdad. And he was from Clifton, Arizona. And that's what brought us to Tucson. And yeah, I went to middle school here. I went to Maxwell Middle School. I went to Cholla High School. And then I left to go to ASU for undergrad. And then in 99, I moved back to San Francisco to go to law school and stayed there, basically. Came back and forth. I have a lot of family here, family, friends, my parents. So it's definitely home, and I'm really, really happy to be back.
Malia Chavez is with us. She is the new CEO of the Community Food Bank. We talked about donating your time, donating food. People can help out if they want to volunteer. Of course, food is always welcome. A check is always welcome. Remembering the Community Food Bank, perhaps in your trust or will, would be also very helpful, wouldn't it?
Wonderful. Yes, it would be really welcomed and appreciated. And if I could give one more plug,
we are
just now in the celebration of Winter Haven, because Winter Haven is open.
Right.
Yay.
Yep.
And we will be the proud recipients of the support from Winter Haven through the 26th of December. So if you want to come on out and join us, we're hoping to raise about 50,000 pounds of food this holiday season. And when you do come, you can bring your food donations, or like you've already mentioned, you can feel free to make a donation, a monetary donation.
Mm-hmm. So the Food Bank has had that great partnership with Winter Haven for years, and this year you're all ready to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's been decades. And I believe this is their 73rd year.
Oh, my goodness.
Operating, yeah, having Winter Haven as a celebration. And we've been working with them for decades.
All right. Sounds like you are off and running. If you had to kind of think about the organization, and I'm sure you're a very goal-oriented person, what are you kind of, what are you thinking about for 2023, some of the goals perhaps you've set for the organization?
Right now, we're really focused on making sure that there's enough food to meet the community need. And again, investing in our programs and education and making sure that we're able to reach people and understand and better serve what the community actually needs and wants.
All right. And again, for more information, visit the Community Food Bank. You can check them out online and look at all the services they provide. And again, how many, you've got five counties you're serving?
Five counties, yes.
Wow.
So we have Pima, Santa Cruz, Cochise, Greenlee, and Graham.
Wow. All right. Best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Thanks
Appreciate
for being
it.
With us. Thanks for coming in. All right. I want to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery. Malia, are you getting ready for the holidays?
I sure am.
Does a... I always love, comfort food is so wonderful, isn't it, this time of year?
Yes, it
My
is.
My goodness.
Especially when it's cold.
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's offers a wide variety of European-style pastries and breads. They're open for breakfast 6:30. On Tuesday through Saturday, they open at 7 o'clock in the morning on Sunday. The team up there getting very much ready for Christmas, as I have already sampled their gingerbread cookies, gingerbread men cookies, absolutely fabulous. But they have all sorts of Christmas cookies. And of course, how about a Danish Kringle for your Christmas morning? That would be a delicious pastry to start the big day. Or maybe even, how about Christmas Eve morning, a Danish Kringle. I know I'll be picking up one on Friday. That's music to Tom Fairbanks's ears. I'll be bringing in a Kringle to the station. Kringle alert, it's coming. The last time I did that a couple of weeks ago, it was gone very quickly. All right, monasdanishbakery.com is the website. We'll pause right here, be back right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is ready for the holidays. And Green Things, located at 3384 East River Road by the Rialto River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, they have everything you need for the holidays, including... they've still got a few of them left. These punched tin Christmas trees are available from Mexico. They really are very decorative. They've got some wonderful items over there at Green Things. They have their 13-acre site, which is home to Zocalo Village, all that wonderful merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come in and tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. Check out what they're doing over there. You know, they grew, I think they said they grew 20,000 poinsettias for the holiday season this year. And they've still got some left. I think they're calling it a poinsettia festival, which is proper for that many, when you've got that many poinsettias. To grow 20,000 poinsettias, I think that they utilized at least a half dozen warehouses to handle all of that. So check it out. Get ready for the holidays. Great time of year over at Green Things. Again, 3384 East River Road. And they're very conveniently located just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Tom, how we doing? Who do we have on our live line right now, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management? Let's go now to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham. Paul, how are you today?
Great, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I needed to put you on a little early today. Had a little change of plans, but I wanted to talk with you about the final Reed Park Master Plan. There's still time for some community input on this. Survey closes December 19th. What do we know about this master plan so far?
Well, I think the final product that has come out that saves the baseball quad and also adds open space, eliminates a couple of the less used baseball fields, but keeps the quad, I think is a great compromise for the youth sports community and the park enthusiast community. I think we were able to save the save the hill, we saved the ponds and the water features, but we also added and augmented those features. Not only that, the zoo is not encroaching on any of the open space. We're actually adding it. So what we have, I think, is a good piece. I know there's always going to be objections for this little thing or that little thing, but man, was this an involved process? And my hat's off, my hat goes off to everybody involved, because everybody did get involved and everybody gave input. And I think that was what we were looking for. And ultimately, I think the end product is good. I think it's going to be really interesting because we're going to continue the work into taking a look at what can be done with the golf feature and whether or not that can be augmented into being more integral in the park feature as well, and not just be a golf feature, be a park feature. I think we need to be careful. We have to look before we leap there, because what I don't want to get into is spending a lot of money on golf. And I like golf, because that course, the 36 holes we have, do a really, you know, they are revenue positive and they do a really good. They are. It's a very high quality municipal course that we have there.
So what about the baseball fields over at? Has that been that issue that came up about the ball fields? Has that been kind of ironed out?
Yes. So the quad has been, that was what the quad is. So a quad is when you have four baseball fields that all of the home plates all abut up to each other in a central area. And that's really good for tournaments, for camps, for youth activities, for things of that nature. And believe it or not, in our inventory, we did not have a full-size quad for with 90-foot bases, convertible to pony, which is the middle of the road between Little League-sized fields and adult fields. We did not have a quad of adult fields in all of the city's inventory. So that was why the controversy had been drummed up. And the baseball organizers and local writers, the Morales brothers from All Sports Tucson, Ed Sapp, he's president of Rincon Little League, and other, he's a local baseball enthusiast. And in fact, his son, who plays for Pima, or he just signed with BYU. So congratulations to him. I grew up with him, so I'm giving him a shout out right now. But the bottom line is that all those people got together and said, hey, look, we're not trying to be hypercritical here, but you know, in this process, we have three options, and it eliminated the quad, and nobody really talked to us. And so we kind of went back and forth a little bit, but I think everybody, cooler heads prevailed. I think everybody came to the table with an idea that balanced everything.
So it's all gone pretty well, hasn't it? The whole deal with Reed Park, the master plan. I know the folks over at Reed Park Zoo, they're very happy with the way things are going. They're looking forward to a great 2023, so things going well.
Well, I mean, I'm afraid that if I say well, there's one person out there listening going, what is he talking about? It was the most painstaking situation. I mean, so I'd say that for me, from my standpoint, yes, it's a win. And it's positive, and it brought people. The one thing that I think is always positive is when you bring people together who normally don't interact. And when you bring those folks together, you get a lot more educating of the other side and understanding all the things. So I think that process did happen here, and I think multiple perspectives all were heard, and that's really what we were looking for.
Let's talk. This is your last visit with us of 2022. What kind of year has this been for the city? There's so many problems, I know, with the situation with the police department and hiring enough cops. We had the fire chief on the show on Friday, and he was saying it's a little better for the fire department than it has been the recruiting for the police department. We'll have the police chief with us. Chief Kazmar will be with us 24 hours from now. He'll be our Friday focus interview. How do you see that whole issue as we wrap up 2022?
Well, first of all, Kazmar's come on and done a tremendous job. He's a 24-year veteran of the force, and Tucson homegrown, and very, very popular among his – was very, very popular among his peers when he was on patrol. Very popular among his peers when he was in junior command, and then very popular among his peers in senior command. He was an outright, almost unanimous choice when we hired him. And he's done a really good job trying to work that morale and trying to work that attitude where We've got police who are bought in, and you know what? I'm going to defend our officers every day because we've got so many quality people working. A couple things that are hindering. One is it isn't a lack of funding. It's a lack of people who can get through screening and get through the academy. We just can't get enough people. The wages are there. The money's there. It's not like throwing money at this thing isn't going to solve it. We've got to find creative ways. My office has circulated a memo for January, and we're adding we're going to add a supplement with about 7 or 8 different ideas that we feel can augment and replace some of the personnel in a hurry, also keep some personnel, and also reassign some things so that we've got more resources on the street.
All right, Paul.
A few of those things.
Hold your thought there because we are at a hard break here, and I do want to hear about some of those things, those 4 or 5 items that could possibly supplement the situation with the manpower problem, getting enough men and women for the police department. So hang on. Going to take a break right here, and then coming up at 12:45, Monica Dangler with me in studio with Figgy. Figgy the dog, the longest resident at Pima Animal Care. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go back now to the live line. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham is with us. Then at 12:45, We will be talking with Monica Dangler from Pima Animal Care Center. She is the director there, and she has brought the most loving animal who is with me in studio here, Jethro. Jethro has been at the PACC for 3 months and is looking for a beautiful home for the holidays. But we'll have more on that coming up a little bit later. So, Paul Cunningham, before the break, you were saying there are some possibilities of things that could be explored to perhaps kind of bolster the ranks of the Tucson Police Department. What do you have in mind?
So the first thing outlined in my memo is to set aside an amount of one-time money, somewhere between $150,000 and $180,000, that would be paid to officers with 3 years or more experience from other departments that were post-certified. They'd receive a portion of it up front and a portion of it after serving 1 year with the city of Tucson as an officer. And possibly that could help us fill some of the gaps, and some of the officers who thought about coming over to the city of Tucson would be more incentivized to do so. We're going to take a look at it, other departments that have that practice and whether or not it's effective. But that was the first thing that kind of came to mind for me. Like, for years we've had some of our folks leaving to other departments. It'd be nice for a change to have folks coming in for their departments. The second piece is allowing a reserve unit for folks that are retired. The state laws have been kind of switched up a little bit. So we have some capacity for reserve units, which I think is a good piece for post-certified officers. Third is offering extra duty to all departments within the region, and that allows some of our folks who are taking extra duty for private entities instead would be taking overtime with us, which would help us out. Third would be, I want to take a look at how we're doing school safety. We have post-certified school safety officers in multiple school districts, and I'd love to have them have like some type of status within our department, so that one of the things that's happening right now with school safety calls is that we have an issue in a middle school and school safety is called, and then they have to call the police to issue the citation or what have you. I'm not sure if that's the best way to do it. It might be better if the school safety post-certified officers could issue those kind of more seamlessly. So I'd like to go down that avenue, and I think that would free up some resources on patrol. And finally, I think there's an opportunity to take professional jobs for retirees like desk sergeants or certain investigative positions that don't require being out on the street and being armed, but require some of the criminogenic thing, investigative pieces and community service pieces that are out there, and allow them to come back and fill in some of those roles. So again, our uniform and commission people can be more dedicated to patrol and response. So those are some of the pieces that I think we're putting together. And my office is issuing that memo for the first January meeting. And again, some of these might be bonehead ideas, but no, when you're in a situation like this, I've learned that no idea is a bad idea, because you're just trying to find a way to maximize your resources. And so I stand behind it, and I think that hopefully we get something for it.
Well, I think some of those are really good suggestions, Paul Cunningham. And I think that the public, I hear that they want to hear the Tucson City Council say, we have a crisis here when it comes to law enforcement, and we really want to address this issue. Do you think you need to go kind of make that kind of public declaration that this law enforcement issue is a crisis?
I think it's very important to say, let's face it, we don't have enough police officers right now. We just don't. And if anybody wants, I mean, it's okay to say that. But you need to couple that as what usually comes after that is, well, that's all the city council's fault. And that's what I can't stand. Okay, so, you know, you're to blame for that. We're doing everything we can to not have that situation. And that's kind of why we've got all these suggestions. And that's part of the problem, is that whenever you acknowledge an issue, someone wants to immediately blame people for an issue. And no one really ever wants to accept that there's so many different things that causes issues like this. And a lot of them are out of our control, and we're just doing our best to address them and move on. And that's what you got to be doing. So that's what we're doing in my office. We've gotten great support from the mayor in collaborating with her on this. So I think we've got a solution. Hopefully we'll have a couple of these solutions are reasonable and doable, and we'll be able to execute them. But let's sit, we got to just see what happens. And I think the chief's been great and receptive in trying to try everything out to make sure that we've got enough. One, we've got enough people out there. Two, they're equipped properly. And three, they're safe in what they're doing and helping keep our community safe.
All right, Paul, before we let you go, remaining couple of minutes, what is going to be the big, well, obviously crime is going to be a huge issue and still is a huge issue in 2023. Would you say the other issue is the water sustainability issue?
So crime and housing are going to be big in 20 and 23. I also think the economy is going to have this, like, it'll be interesting to watch in 2023. Water is going to be the issue in 2023, 2024, 2025. It's going to be an issue for a long, long, long time. So I think it's safe to say those things. I'll say right now, today, the issue that's been on my mind for the last 3 days, in fact, that's why I'm still in the car and my audio isn't as good as usual, is I was out at 20 Speedway and Kolb right now. And I've got an update for everybody because Speedway and Kolb has been closed, for some of you who don't know, for the past few days. That's why if you're rarely on the east side or once in a while on the east side and all of a sudden you're going down Grant or Tank Verde or even Broadway east of Kolb right now or east of Wilmot right now, and you're noticing there's just a lot more traffic than usual, it's because westbound Speedway is down to one lane. Northbound Kolb is closed. Southbound Kolb is also closed. And northbound Kolb, you can take a right. So the Kolb and Speedway is essentially closed as an intersection. Now understand that intersection feeds into both the Sabino Canyon Extension and Kolb Grant Road. It's one of the busiest intersections in the city, and it has been closed because during the freeze, we had a 24-inch water main break. And it was actually a better pipe. There was no predictors on how that happened. Water has been out there for the last 3 days. They're predicting they'll be able to fix the break in about 48 hours, and all water service has been restored, except that there is going to be some spotty water pressure out there. So just bear with us. We are going as fast as we can. Again, about 48 hours for water. Then we've got to clean up the road and rebuild the road. That's going to take about 3 weeks. Now, that doesn't mean the intersection is going to be totally closed for 3 weeks. We'd like to open lanes of traffic as fast as we can. We don't have a hard timetable in that. In the meantime, I'm working with the police department and streets to take a look at some possible detours, maybe using the backside of our partners at Lowe's, maybe possibly going down Grady. I mean, we're going to try some things, but we want to make sure it's safe before we get really into that, if we need to, if the traffic situation becomes completely unmanageable. But I'm working with everybody I can, as fast as I can, so that the traffic issues on the east side are relieved, because the loss of that intersection is... it was incredible. It took me about 20 minutes yesterday to go pick up my son, which is usually like a 4-minute drive. So we're doing the best we can, but I want to let everybody know to bear with us. You can't, you know, nobody plans a 24-inch water main explosion.
All right, Paul Cunningham, thank you very much. I want to wish you and your family a very joyous holiday season. Special greetings to your dad. I've known your dad forever. I've been in town 35 years now in January, and we've known each other probably that long. So my very best to your family.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everybody in Tucson.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Coming up next, Jethro, the dog, 3 months at Pima Animal Care. This is one of the most loving animals. He, during our interview with Paul, he's been over here practically on my lap and going up on the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page within a few moments, a picture of Jethro and the beautiful Monica Dangler with Jethro. Monica from Pima Animal Care with me in studio. It's next right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zilcalo Village Studios. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Start your planning now. It's only about a 3-hour drive. I know a lot of you have time off over the holidays. Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. There you will find all the great activities, so many outdoor activities, and indoor activities like dining in some really neat restaurants in historic Silver City. Check it out. The folks over there have been a great sponsor. They want to wish all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a very happy holiday. Monica Dangler with me in studio, director at Pima Animal Care Center, and the very loving animal named Jethro. I love this dog, Monica. During the interview with Paul Cunningham, Jethro is just so sweet. Had his head on my lap. I mean, first of all, great to see you.
It's great to see you. Thanks for having me.
And we really want to get this home, a homeless pet, home for the holidays. And I just posted on my Facebook page, if anybody's wondering, well, what's Bill talking about? What does this dog look like? This is a really nice dog, sweet dog. Is he an older animal?
No, he's actually about 3 years old, but he acts like a very mature gentleman.
So mellow.
Yeah, he's great boy.
The dog is just so mellow. Would be wonderful as a family animal with kids. Just a really, really sweet dog. So right now, you want to get the word out on a couple of things. Let's begin with kind of the overflow situation of large dogs.
Yeah, so currently we have, as of this morning, 547 dogs in the shelter.
What?
Which, to put that in perspective for you, typically we have about 370 this time of year. So we have almost 200 more dogs than we typically would. So we're way over capacity. I mean, this is the type of numbers we typically see in August. So we're way over capacity, but we're doing a few things. You know, we know it's hard, inflation, the holidays, all of the things. So we want to try to help people be able to take dogs home, whether it's temporarily for a foster or permanently for an adoptive pet. We will give you a $100 voucher to use in our central pet
$100?
Store. $100. So you can get the dog food, toys, a collar, a leash, all of those great things. You can take that dog home, whether you're taking them home for a 2-week foster or permanently. We just want to get these dogs home and, you know, take care of them. And this is for all dogs that are 40 pounds or bigger.
Have some people stepped up already?
Absolutely. We've already sent 31 dogs home to foster homes. Only 19 of them have taken advantage of the special. They said, use this money for another dog. But so far, 31 have gone into a foster home.
But how many are left to go into foster
homes?
Yeah,
a lot. I mean, they unfortunately, they're coming in about as quickly as they're going out.
Why? You said this is a typical situation in August. Mm-hmm. Does it have something to do with school, some of the university letting out here? Or could it just be a combination of things with the inflation, the whole economy, and people just can't afford an animal, which is so sad?
I think it's really, you know, a combination of everything. And, you know, a big piece that's impacting everybody is the economy, whether it's being able to afford veterinary services, able to find veterinary services. We're seeing vet offices close regularly, or just being able to afford pet food, right? We've seen pet food and cat litter increase by, you know, 30%, that's a lot. So it's not just people food, it's also the animal food that we're seeing having an impact on people.
We had a stray, the dog I hope they have found the dog that was running around in our neighborhood on Saturday. We were all neighbors, mm-hmm. all pitching in, and my wife saw the animal. She tried to get it. The animal did not have a collar. Then the owner comes driving along, yelling for the animal, and I'm thinking, why not put a collar with a tag on the animal? Now, animals like this can typically wind up over in your care. Mm-hmm. People need to check with you first.
Absolutely. You know, the very first thing you should do if you lose or find a pet is check in with us. We're actually partnering with Petco Love right now. Mm-hmm. They have a lost and found section, but it's really cool. It's different than most of them. It's using facial recognition of the dogs. So when you put in your lost dog, it'll say, here's dogs that it probably is that are found, or vice versa. So that's really exciting. So if a collar is not on the dog, or a tag, or a microchip, which, you know, we all should have those things on there, but sometimes accidents happen, you can still reunite the pets easily. And the really cool thing about it doesn't just look at the dogs at pack. It looks at the dogs at all the shelters that participate with Petco Love, which is the Humane Society, Green Valley Animal League, Pinal Animal Control, right? We're really close to all of those shelters, and that makes it easier for you to reunite with your pet. And, you know, ultimately, our goal is to keep pets with their families.
How about the cat population? Is that fairly stable?
Yeah, our cat, luckily, thank goodness, our cat population is great. We have about 100 cats in shelter, which is pretty typical of this year. But we've, you know, been able to do a lot more in the TNR realms, where we trap, neuter, and release and return the cats. And that's really been helping a lot. And now that it's cooler, it's not quite kitten season, so we don't see quite as many of those kittens.
Just had a message. Bill, you need to tell people, where is this Pima Animal Care located?
Yeah, we are at 4000 North Silverbell. So it's just north of Grant and Silverbell intersection. And we're open 12 to 7 Monday through Friday and 10 to 5 on the weekends.
We don't talk enough about and give a shout out to all of your animal control officers. This is just such a, it's just such a thankless job, but my goodness, they're the people who are out there on the front line of these animal emergencies, and they're bringing in many times injured pets or homeless animals that need medical care. Big shout out to those people.
Yeah, that team does amazing, you know, amazing things. People sometimes think they're police officers.
Yeah.
They're not. They don't have anything to protect themselves. And, you know, they're not only dealing with sometimes people that aren't happy with them, but they're also dealing with animals that a lot of times are not excited to see them either. So they do really great work.
So let's go over the things people should do. The first thing, if your animal is missing, check with you guys.
Yep. Go to our website, pima.gov/animal care. And under lost and found, you can submit a report easily at Petco Love Lost for a lost pet or a founder pet. So it'll automatically get that in there. And then start looking for the owners, like that owner was doing in your neighborhood. Start driving around and looking for your lost pet. Or if you find a pet, start walking around asking people if they know this dog, if they've seen where it lives. Most dogs are found within a couple houses of where they live, but definitely within a mile at most. So looking in the neighborhood where they're at is the best way to get them back home.
Because the animal has this instinctive nose, I don't know, through the smell or whatever. When they do get out, they don't wander that far. They do know pretty much where they live.
Yeah,
I think. I don't.
Absolutely. They're just, you know, out taking themselves for a walk and enjoying their time. You know, it's not like 4th of July or New Year's when, or if there's a thunderstorm when they're afraid. When they're afraid, they will run very far and they will not know where they're at because they're in a panic. But when they just get out, they're just poking around, wanting to say hi to everybody and see who they can visit with.
All right. Before we wrap it up with Monica Dangler, director at Pima Animal Care Center, and the very loving with me in studio, Jethro. Picture is up of Jethro right now on Facebook. We've already had some really good response to that. Maybe someone is looking for an animal for the holidays. Boy, Jethro would be a perfect animal to bring home for the holidays. Overall, only a few seconds left. What's your report of kind of state of the shelter here as we wrap up 2022?
Yeah, we are still, you know, our mission is getting pets back with their families or creating those families. And the team is doing an amazing job. When we look at our statistics compared to other shelters across the country, we're just hitting it out of the park. So the team is just amazing, and I'm really proud to say that they're our team.
You want to share a few statistics with us?
Oh gosh, we've taken in
keeping animals alive.
We've taken in a little over 16,000 animals, and our live release rate, which is the number of dogs in compared to the number out, is 4%.
Whoa.
Which is great.
That is wonderful. Mm-hmm. All right, Monica Dangler, the very best to you. You're doing a great job at Pima Animal Care. I want to wish you and your family a very happy holidays. And let's get Jethro a home for the holidays. That would make my day, and I know it would make yours as well.
Absolutely, and happy holidays to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Monica Dangler and Jethro the dog with me in studio, I didn't want to put Jethro ahead of Tom Fairbanks, but he doesn't mind, actually. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Everybody, have a great day. Tomorrow, we've got the police chief at 12 noon. Should be very interesting. Be right back in 23 hours. Have a great day.